Grace and peace of the household of faith. Amen. Thank God for everyone here. Thank God for pastor, ministers, everyone. Amen. Thank God for being here one more time. Amen. It's been a long time since I've been around this pulpit. Amen. Little brothers there, I said, Lord, help this body to recover. Oh, man. I said, you know, it's amazing how, you see, if you really understand the workings of God, and you understand the fact that, all things are decreed by God. Amen. And if you understand the fact that we walk by faith and not by sight, many things God lead you to, you may not understand, but when it happens, then you understand it.
Amen.
And it's amazing because it was like some things that I was like almost like forced to read, some of the pastor's documents, some other things in the website. It's amazing because when I was on a bed and heard, that's when I read it. And the doctor told me, you can't drive for 30 days. I said, well, hey. Because my kids were saying, his dad is always on the run. You know, I'm running to Kinko's and running to the office of mats and running here and there. And so when he said that, amen. So I said, thank God for your grace. But you pray for me today. Amen. And you know, it's a wonderful to be here. You know, when you're in to be a member of the body of Christ, you know, people take that for granted. You hear it all the time. But you don't know how blessed you are. To be a member in the glorious body of Christ. The fact that you see, God has a great plan for every person's life. And see, when you hear that, people think carnal. They say, oh, God has a great plan for my life, for me to move up to the career, for me to get, you know, this, all this money to bank, all this and this. Well, that may be part of God's plan, but see, the point is this: God's plan supersedes that.
Amen.
The plan that God had, if you are a member in the body of Christ, I don't care if you come to this earth and you die the next minute, God had a plan for your life. And the bottom line is that plan is for you to be here one minute, and then, in essence, you are immediately ushered into see Christ as he is. That God's plan was for that situation, for you to not go through these trials and tests that we all have been going through in time. So I don't care what you go through, I don't care how long you will live, if you are a member of the body of Christ, God has a great plan for your life. And having said that once, so no matter what happens down here, you are saved in eternity. God has a great plan for your life. And that's one sad thought before we get started in the script. Let's continue to keep Brother Charlie in our prayers. You know, for those that may not know, you know, for those, I think everybody knows Brother Charlie lost his mom few days ago. We had a funeral past week, so let's continue to keep her in our prayers. And you know, so one thing about mothers, for many of you that have lost your mother, we can relate to that. I'm kind of headed toward that because my mom has Alzheimer's disease, and I continue to pray for my mother and also my family, because 5 years ago when she was admitted to the when she had been living with my sister and my brother-in-law, the doctor said she could no longer live by herself. For 5 years, they have been seeing between my brother-in-law and my sister, and also the two nurses that come in, they've been kind of giving her around-the-clock care. And the Lord blessed my brother-in-law to have a job where he works in the afternoon, so he was there during the day to see about my mom. But then this past week, my brother-in-law, Walter White, had a massive stroke. And so he was so helpful to seeing about her, and my sister, in addition to helping my mother, who runs my brother's business there. She's like the man behind the business. So between that, my mother, and now seeing about my brother-in-law, Walt, who has a massive stroke. In fact, the doctor said, people don't realize when you have a stroke, many times there's a second and third stroke. He really had a major stroke and four multiple strokes. So he's making progress, but when you say a massive stroke, you know what it means. So anyway, just keep them in my prayers, and I plan on going down to see them. In fact, starting tomorrow. But the Lord, the doctor said, I release you to drive. I didn't release you to get on the highway and drive 14 hours. So, Lord, be willing, I'll be waiting until the fall. Lord, before the weather gets too cold, to go see about them. So, just keep them in our prayers. Amen. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, grace, and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, Father. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for everything, Father. Hallelujah. Everything we do, Father, let us point to Christ. Father, let Christ be magnified, Father. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you energize the word today, Father. Oh, God, let Christ live big in all of us, Father. And the only way we can do that, Father, is that let us decrease, that Christ may increase and live big, Father. Oh, God, let everything we do point to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Father, continue to bless this ministry. Bless everyone here, Father, no matter what they're going through, Father. Breathe upon everyone according to your will, Father. Breathe upon this word. Oh, God, energize your word. Father, without you, we can't do nothing. But thank God, we can truly say, great is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Bless your word today, Father, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, God bless you. Everyone, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Amen. Very familiar passage. But the Lord be willing, we're going to, the word of God is rich. It's an old saying somebody said some time ago that the word of God is spiritually abound and is pregnant. The word of God, somebody said, what do you mean pregnant? The word of God is pregnant, meaning it always gives birth to new revelations, to new knowledge. Many times you think that you've understand a verse inside and out, and then the Spirit of God, who's the teacher? How many know the Spirit of God is the teacher? The Spirit of God will show you some things you ain't never seen before. And when you get there, he'll show you something else you ain't never seen before. And that's why, as long as we're in this side of life, we're going to always be learning. Because if somebody say, well, I've seen the Scripture, and I know everything about it. No, you don't. Because nobody can get to the point where they know everything about God in this life. Because we will be with him eternity, knowing more about who we are in Christ and what he's done for us in eternity. Amen. Now, our reader today, amen, Elder Nicholson, let's go right to chapter 1. Amen. And we're going to read this in the, I'm going to watch my clock now to make sure I abide by my time. Amen. Okay. We're going to be sure to, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. And going to begin with the first verse. And we can go all to down to verse 14. But then we can back up and focus on verse 1 through 4. But let's read all, again, this all in King James, and then we'll go to read this in the Greek. Amen?
Mm-hmm. King James Version.
Yes, yes, we'll start with the King James. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14.
Okay. King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Amen. To the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay.
Grace be to you,
mm-hmm,
and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ.
Amen. We're going to come back and clear up some of this. Just keep going. Amen.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Without blame. Amen.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Amen.
Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Amen.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself,
mm-hmm,
that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven,
hallowed,
and which are on earth, even in him.
Mm-hmm.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Amen. Now, what are we going to do? Amen. With the help of the Lord. Elder Nichols, let's go back. And let's go back. Now, for time's sake, we're going to focus in today, Lord, be willing, on verse 1 through 4. And we're going to kind of see the key thing is that we're going to exegete some things here. We're going to explain it. And then, with the grace of God, we're going to corroborate some things here. Because the key is this. With the wonderful work that God has done for us in Ephesians chapter 1. Why is it that so many people do not, some of God's people, now forget the world. Because, you know, they cannot understand spiritual things. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible is written for God's elect. But why is that so many people just run over? In fact, they don't get over Ephesians chapter 1. It's like they bypass it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We get there. Amen. I'm kind of going ahead of myself. Bear with me. Y'all pray for me now. Okay. Elder, let's read. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4 in the Greek. Amen.
Okay.
In the Greek. Let's go back to verse 1 now, okay? In the Greek text. In the Greek interlinear.
Ephesians chapter 1, Greek interlinear text. Mm-hmm. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God.
Through the will of God. Paul was an apostle. Notice, Paul was not a self-made apostle.
No.
Paul was an apostle by the will of God.
Amen.
He had nothing to do with it in terms of him setting the course. God set the course in eternity.
Amen.
So no matter what happens from a historical basis, even during the time that he was out there doing his own thing, God purpose was him, was what? The Apostle Paul.
Right.
When he was destroying Christians, God's will was that he was the head of this new dispensation, which is what? Grace.
Great.
Amen.
Right.
Let's move on. Let's go to verse 2.
Right. Okay. To the saints being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you.
Grace to you. Now the King James said, grace be to you. See, listen, the Bible does not need no help. Amen.
Yeah.
If it says grace to you, why had it be there? Grace to you. Now, yeah. Some of your Bible may be italicized. Whenever you see the word in the, if it's what? If it's an italic, that means it was added by the translators. Grace to you. Okay?
And peace from God, the Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay?
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us with every spiritual blessing, every blessing spiritual, in the heavenlies in Christ.
Okay, let's stop here. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Say, understand. God has already done it.
Amen.
You have already been blessed. Mm-hmm. Now you got a lot of people say, I'm running around looking for a blessing. No, if you are a child of God, you have already been blessed. And we're going to go over some of these blessings in a few minutes in terms of what God has already done for you. Now, one thing we need to understand, hath blessed. That is an aorist participle. And we know now aorist tense, aorist. Past completed action.
Amen.
God has already done it. When
yeah.
did he bless you? He's already blessed you in eternity before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, a participle. What's a participle? A participle is a verb or adjective.
Amen.
And a participle describes God has blessed who? Yeah. God has blessed you.
Yeah.
Past completed action. Done in the past. God has blessed you. Who? Us. In him.
Amen.
Already done. It's an aorist participle, verbal adjective.
Amen.
Now, keep going. He has blessed us.
Blessed, bless us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Now, in your Bible, it says blessings in the Greek, in interlinear. That blessings in my Bible, it's a singular. In other words, you have been blessed with every blessing, singular, spiritual.
Amen.
Every blessing, singular, spiritual.
Amen.
What are some of these, quote, singular, spiritual blessings? Well, first of all, if you're in Christ, that's it right there.
Amen.
That's it. The fact that you're in Christ. But if you were to dissect some of these, quote, but blessings, that's singular.
Amen.
Let's go further. In other words, and in the heavenly places, see, that's physical, because first of all, our heavenliness is not a place.
Amen.
You're in Christ. Yeah, yeah. Your heavenliness, we are blessed Christ. In the heavenliness in Christ. In Christ, you're in Christ, already blessed. What's my blessing? In Christ.
Amen.
That place is there, most of you probably have, it's what? Italicized. It was what? Added by the translators. The New Jerusalem, you know, you go over there, and I was told years ago that, oh, the streets of gold and all the what? You know, you're going to be singing on the harp for 3 years, and everything was what? Physical.
Yeah.
The body of Christ is a spiritual organism.
I hear you.
And that means, if you read God and Paul's writings, if there's any physical communication, you better go back to the threefold method of Bible methodology, and that is historical, grammatical, contextual, and you'll find when you do that, you'll find there won't be nothing physical. Now Paul did, our gospel does deal with some of the physical things, because you know we're going through life, right? But it's not on a prioritized basis. Because you know one thing I learned about our gospel, if you get it spiritually, a lot of things never take care of themselves.
Right.
They just fall right in place.
Amen.
If you understand salvation, you won't be going through here worrying about your bills.
Yeah.
Because your thing is that what has more weight? What has a more value rating? Salvation or that Visa credit card you have?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say salvation. And the child of God said, wait a minute. If God can take care of my, if he has already taken care of my salvation, everything that goes down here in time, he's more than capable of taking care of that. Amen?
Amen.
Now, going back, let's go to verse 4.
Verse 4. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be, that we should be holy and unblemished.
Now, listen, according as he had chosen us, hath chosen, that is in the aorist tense. God has already done it.
Amen.
And that's also in the middle voice.
Amen.
Now, the middle voice is the subject is acting upon himself.
Right.
So in this case, God has already chosen who?
Us.
In eternity. Before he created the heavens and the earth, again, the subject is acting upon himself. God has already done it, and it was done in eternity. God has already done it. Past complete action. Now, if it's already done, it's already done. It's already what? Actualized. And whatever is manifest, the manifestation has to follow the decree. See, a lot of y'all going through stuff, and you say, why? It was decreed.
Amen.
Now, the key is this. Let's look at this one step further. In this Ephesians chapter 1. Now, for time's sake, I'm just going with some of the things. You know, Elder read some things, 1 through 14, verse 1 through 14. He mentioned some very important things. Some of the eternal workings of God. That God has done for us. And he mentioned predestinating. In fact, Elder Nicholson did a great job, I think 2 weeks ago, going through some of these nations. And so I'm not going to dwell on that per se today, but just to list some of the things that Paul gives Ephesians chapter 1 through 14. Some of the things that God has done for us in eternity. For example, he has predestinated us. He has chosen us.
Yeah.
We are without blame. He's adopted us. He's accepted us. He's redeemed us. He forgave us. He gave us his wisdom. He gave us his prudence. He's given, somebody, I'm going to get an inheritance. No, you already have an inheritance.
Amen.
He has sealed us. Somebody said, well, one day I'm going to be saved. No, if you are sealed, you are already saved.
I hear you.
And when God seals you, nobody can take it away. Amen. You are sealed until the day of redemption.
I hear you.
So, the key is this.
Amen.
If God has done all of these things, why is it that when people read this, it just goes right through them?
I hear you.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is this. It is impossible to have the revelation of what God has done for us if you do not have a revelation of the depravity of man.
I hear you.
The depravity of man is directly proportional to the workings of God.
Amen.
Now somebody say, how can it be? Let's break it down some more. In Ephesians, probably no other book of Paul's 14 epistles, probably no other book gives the wonderful workings of God and what God has done for us in eternity. Probably no other book other than those first three chapters in Ephesians. It tells what God has done for us before you were even on the scene. God has taken care of everything regarding your life.
Amen.
This tells us, church, that we bring nothing to the table.
I hear you.
Grace, the component of grace, is that you bring nothing, zero, to the table. So if you understand that God has done it all, that a depraved creature cannot contribute to Ephesians chapter 1. How can a depraved creature contribute to anything that God has done in Ephesians chapter 1, chapters 2 and chapter 3, when you were not even around during this time? God. See, in grace, the focus is on God. God saves. God baptizes. Jesus forgives. Jesus.
Amen.
Grace always magnifies Jesus.
Always.
And whenever you have the cogitation where you're not spending enough time focusing in on Jesus.
I hear you.
Because when you focus on Jesus, it's going to automatically eliminate the eyes.
Right.
God's done all of these things. However, taking this one step further, your revelation in what God has done in eternity is directly proportional to your revelation and understanding of the total depravity of man. The proper understanding of Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2 and 3, the whole book of Ephesians, is the fact again that you bring nothing to the table as far as your salvation is concerned. A depraved creature cannot participate in his salvation.
Amen.
And going one step further, you know, we mentioned earlier the threefold method of Bible exegesis. Whenever you read a scripture, ask yourself, is this true? Well, first of all, if it's the word, you know, it's the word of God, it's always true. But what's the proper thought conveyance of what I just read?
Amen.
You always want to go to the historical aspect. You always want to go to the grammar. And you always go to context. And when you get those three to line up, then you can go with the scripture.
Right.
Now, in our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, there are many scriptures that point to the fact that man is totally depraved. If you go to the context of many scriptures, it points to the fact that man is totally depraved.
I hear you.
But today, we're going to focus on the historical. Because many times, if you just look at history, it'll clear things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I came out of a church where, man, if salvation, if you didn't have no tongues, you were going to hell.
I hear you.
That was it. No tongues, hell bound.
I hear you.
And even when the Lord just began to reveal some of these things, I said, that didn't make any sense. You mean God is going to be a captive of what a person does? In other words, if they don't speak in tongues, they're going to hell. And here's a problem. Just clearing that up. When Peter talks about the tongues and day of Pentecost, just historically, the church, the body of Christ, had not even been manifested at that time. So that should tell you right there that there was a problem. And didn't Peter been on to say, ye men of Judea, your house of Israel.
I hear you.
He said, this message is for you. Amen. And even at that time, from a historical basis, if you just look at history, in the first part of Acts, the Gentiles were still cut off from God.
I hear you.
So that was his history. In fact, a lot of things that most people in church argue, the historical component that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That you are a new creation. And many times people read scriptures and they get confused because they can't differentiate the new man, Pastor, from the old man.
Amen.
And if you cannot differentiate, you know, the pastor always say, what? The Bible says, rightly divide the Bible according to what? Dispensational and its covenant arrangements.
Amen.
Another reason why a lot of God's people are confused, because they cannot rightly divide or differentiate the new man from the old man.
Amen.
And if you cannot differentiate or divide or understand the cogitation of the new man from the old man, you will be just as confused as not dividing the Bible.
Right, right. Amen.
For example, let's go there. Let's look at this. Let's go to Romans chapter. I tell you, let's go to two verses. In fact, when you get this, when you get the first verse, put your finger there, because at the same time, we're going to ask you to go to another verse. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we're going to read both of these simultaneously. So, looking at Romans chapter 3. Here, now, I'm going to tell you, when people read the Bible, they say, you know, that's why a lot of times people say the Bible contradicts itself. And then all of a sudden, they can't figure that one out, so they begin to add, all of a sudden religion gets involved, and then all of a sudden everybody's confused. Now, you look at Romans chapter 3, real quick. Mm-hmm. Go to Romans chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Verse 23. And hold your finger there, then go to 1 John 3, 9. Right. Romans 3, 23, and then 1 John 3, 9. We got time. We'll read this in the King James. And then we go to the Greek. Amen. Okay. Everybody ready? Okay. We'll read Romans first. Romans 3:23 first. Elba. And then we'll go to 1 John 3:9. Verify from the scripture.
King James or
King James first, and then we go to the Greek.
Okay, King James Version, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned.
All have sinned,
and come short of the glory of God.
And come short of the glory of God. Verify from the scripture. Now let's go through this. Let's look at this in the. Let's go through this in the Greek, Elder.
For all sin.
All sin.
And come short.
And come short.
Of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God. Now, let's go to 1 John 3, 9, King James and Greek. King James first. Now, I want y'all to, again, keep your finger there, because we're going to compare these two scriptures, and you'll see why a lot of people get confused by not properly dividing the word. Now, let's go to 1 John 3, 9.
King James Version.
Yes.
1 John 3 and 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Keep going.
For his seed remaineth in him.
For his seed remaineth in him.
And he cannot sin.
And he cannot sin.
Because he is born of God.
Wait a minute. Romans said all have sinned. Over here just saying he cannot sin. And how do you reconcile those? The Bible is consistent, but you must understand the thought conveyance of what is being said.
Man.
Keep going, Elder. Keep going. Do you go to...
Yeah, I did. Okay.
Do you do the Greek?
Greek, okay.
They go to the Greek.
1 John 3:9.
In the Greek now.
Greek interlineal. Everyone having been begotten of God, sin, not does...
Everyone that's begotten of God does not sin, okay?
Does, because seed of him, in him remains.
In him remains.
And he cannot sin.
And he cannot sin.
Because of God, God he has begotten.
God he has begotten. Wait, John, he cannot sin. And by the way, what John said, stay in our gospel. What John said, the fact that what? A man that's born of God cannot sin. John just corroborated everything that Paul said in our gospel regarding the new man. The new man, it is impossible for the new man to sin. But let's go back here. Paul in Romans 3:23, he says, all have sinned. And over here it says, no, you cannot sin. How do you reconcile that? First of all, let's take this. Lord, help me. I don't want to go too fast. Let's go back. All have sinned. When you read the Bible, saints, you need to understand in what? In historical, contextual, and grammatical, when God says all, what is the application to the all? For example, in some cases, when you use all, he refers to all of his elect. In some cases, God, when the Bible used all, it refers to all of the non-elect. And in some cases, when it used all, it refers to all of the Jews. It depends upon what is the conveyance in what? That scripture. What is the conveyance? But in here, when Paul says, all have sinned, by the way, in some cases, all refers to everyone that ever came after Adam. In this case, all have sinned. This means that every person that's ever breathed in the air, all have sinned. Paul is talking about all the old man. John is talking about, no, we cannot sin the new man. And if you understand that even God chose you in him before the foundation of the world, you were chosen new man. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. New man. A member in his glorious body. New man. The sinful nature. Old man. Bad habits. Old man. So whenever you see anything about the born of God, cannot sin, perfect, new man. Somebody said, are you perfect? You know the answer to that? Are you perfect? Well, it depends on what you mean. You can answer both ways and you'll be right. Are you perfect? Yes. Are you perfect? No. Perfect, the man that's recreated in Christ Jesus? Yes, perfect. The member of the body of Christ, that man, that what? That cannot sin, perfect.
Amen.
But the body, this fleshly body that one day God's going to get rid of, that body's depraved.
Amen.
And see, if you don't understand this, people will come up with a lot of tradition.
Amen.
That doesn't make sense. Such as, when religious people, when the religious circle read this, when they say, wait a minute, this person cannot sin, they make crazy cogitation thoughts, such as, wait a minute, the Bible says you cannot sin, so John, listen, if you miss the mark, you need more Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because what they're saying, if you get enough of that Holy Ghost, you will not sin. They have confused the new man with the old man. So what they'll say, John, he missed the mark. He sinned, so he needs the Holy Ghost. No, John missed the mark because he's depraved.
I hear you.
hear you. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
By the way, when we talk about this, we're not talking about going like talking about an excuse for sin or that. No. Because if you understand, the mature mind understands that, wait a minute, the mature mind understands that this information is given to you for you to grow in this wonderful grace. Because you don't need a license to sin. Amen.
Man.
You may need more. I mean, for those of you that see, looking around here, drove to church today, hey, you need a license to drive.
Right.
For those of you that's in some fishing or thing, you may need a license to that. You do not need a license to sin. Just breathe. And that bad boy take over. Some, hey, just breathe. Amen. You don't need a license. But the key is this. The new man is created in Christ Jesus. And one day when God get rid of this flesh, when one day when this flesh is destroyed,
I hear you.
The new man is still here. Because the new man has always been here.
Come on.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. When this flesh, the house of this tabernacle is destroyed, we have an eternal building, eternal in the heavens. That's the man that's going to, that's the man that we are to identify with. So every time that you do good, you have identified with the new man. And the goal of grace is to identify with the new man. But then, sometimes, when you miss the mark, the only thing that happens, you identify with the old man. But you can still rest in, because our gospel still tells us that now there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus.
Preach.
Period.
Preach. Preach. Amen. Amen.
Somebody say, religious say, well, who not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Check your Bible. That was added by the translators. If any man being, no, oh Lord, help me. Have mercy. For there is therefore now no condemnation. In fact, let me do this right now. Take you 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Where is that? That's in where? Do this real quick. We can do this right now. Because I know some of your Bibles. And by the way, if you have a Bible that you can't write in it, throw it away and get another one. Amen? Throw it away. You can write in the Bible. Write in the board. Write in it. Write in it. Here, this was. Let's do this real quick. Elder.
Mm-hmm.
Read this. Read Romans 8:1.
Romans 8:1, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Now, we're gonna prove this. Ella, read it. Go to the King, the Greek. Read the same thing.
No then now condemnation to thee in Christ Jesus.
Wait a minute. What about who walk not after? See, it's not there. If you have a pen, you can do it right now. If you have in your Bible who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, just cross it out. Cross it out, because it's not there. It's not in the original. It's not in the original script. It's not in the original manuscript.
Amen.
If you are in Christ Jesus, you are not condemned. Period.
I hear you.
What about if I mess up? Who doesn't mess up?
Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
Who doesn't mess up?
Mm-hmm.
See, I was taught if you mess up, man, then you get all condemned because you need more of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was not sent here to perfect your flesh.
I hear you. Come on, preacher.
How will God perfect something that He's going to one day destroy?
Yeah. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is given here for you to identify with Christ.
Yeah.
And when you and you walk, the goals of grace is make no provision for the flesh.
Right.
Give no place to the flesh.
Right.
And when you understand that, that the identification, the goal of grace is to identify with who you are in Christ.
Amen.
And when make no provision to the flesh, that takes care of everything.
I hear you.
So I came out of church. They put down people that went out here. They run the women or smoking the cigarettes. And they said, oh, that person missing it. But then the same bite all the other crazy stuff. I said, wait a minute, what about that stuff? What about that stuff? They look over that the backbiting and the crazy stuff.
Amen.
What about that stuff? And they would put people in hell doing the other stuff.
Amen.
And everybody was messing up.
I hear you.
So I said, Lord, this whole church needs Holy Ghost.
I hear you.
No, they were just identifying with the old man.
That's right.
But even then, they were still a new man Christ, creature Christ. The most carnal bunch of Paul, and all of Paul's in our gospel, the most carnal bunch, those Corinthians. I mean, Paul, the carnal bunch, who his goal was to show them the deeper things of our gospel. Even then, he said, you Christians, you are sanctified. In other words, he showed them. But you know, it's amazing. Before Paul commanded them to do, in other words, according to God's word, point out all the flaws, he gave them the facts of who they were in Christ. In other words, the indicative always comes before the imperative.
Amen.
Give people the facts.
Yeah.
Give people the information before you do all these commandments.
Yeah.
Man.
But most people have a Bible. They want to give you all these legalistic things and not telling you nothing about who you are in Christ.
I hear you.
Right. Amen.
Give people the facts that they were chosen before the foundation of the world. Right. Let them know that they are precious in the sight of God.
Amen.
Let them know that they are a new creation in Christ.
Yeah.
Give them the facts, the facts. Before you beam on the head with all these the commands.
Amen.
The indicative.
Amen.
Give them the indicative.
Amen.
The facts.
Amen.
Prior.
Amen.
To the command. The imperative. But let's go further. Let's look at history. Bears out. Let's look at from a historical component. That the only thing that God has had to work through in time, over the ages, over the generations, the only thing God has to work with was depravity. But thank God, in spite of depravity, God is still fulfilling his will and purpose.
Amen.
In spite of the weaknesses of man, God still is going to have his way.
Amen.
God is going to have his way
yes.
No matter what your problems are,
Amen.
No matter what you're going through,
yes.
Amen.
God is still going to have his way.
I hear you. Come on now.
Let's go to, let's do some corroboration to see that God only had to work this depravity. And see the problem that a lot of people start out the gate wrong. And if you have the wrong thoughts, you're going to have the wrong action.
Amen.
If you have the wrong action, you're going to get at the wrong conclusion.
I hear you.
It ain't no way to come up with the right conclusion if you have the wrong thoughts.
I hear you.
But if you get your thinking right, you have the right conclusion.
I hear you.
Let's go to Genesis. Amen.
Come on, Elder.
Let's go to Genesis. Amen. Let's do some corroboration here. We'll see the only thing God has had to work with was what? Depravity. I see in our time today, I'll take it up next time, 3 weeks. In all dispensations, God has had to work with his depravity.
Amen.
But he was still magnifying his purpose,
mm-hmm.
even in those times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we know the dispensations. Amen. We know what the dispensation is, a God's policy,
mm-hmm.
his administrative dealings with mankind
Amen.
Throughout all the ages. God has been administratively dealing with mankind through all dispensations up to right now. But he's still working his will through depravity because you understand this. When you understand depravity, you have a greater appreciation for God's grace.
Amen.
But the reason a lot of God's people have all this pride, all this arrogance, because they feel that they bring something to the table.
Right.
Even the faith bunch. Oh, I use my faith. And that's how I got saved.
Amen.
What they're saying, they're bringing their faith to the table.
Amen.
Others are using it what? A water baptism. What are they saying? They're bringing the water baptism. What you do.
Amen.
Anything that you say you do, you have destroyed grace.
I hear you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Grace is all about God.
Amen. Amen.
They have a number in the world of chemistry. There's a number called Avogadro's number, which is 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd. Right. And what they're saying, you see, in some cases, depend upon what you call numeric components. Some numbers exponentially are so long, rather than writing, let's say, a 1 and let's say a million zero, it could take you a whole, it'll take you probably hours to write what a million zeros, whatever time is, right? So they use this cogitation. 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd. What I'm saying that is that if you go out, if you put that number out there, that number is for things so small, that it gives that a value. But the key is this. If you just contribute, if you could put out a trillion zeros out there, and then put a 0.1, which is so small, if you apply that to grace, you still have destroyed grace.
I hear you. Amen.
Because grace means nothing to the table.
I hear you.
Nothing.
Amen. Nothing.
Grace Amen. Also means everything to God.
Amen.
Nothing to man.
Amen.
So any contribution that people have to the workings of God, they have destroyed grace.
I hear you.
So what we're going to do historically, see, if you look at the federal heads, in every dispensation, God worked through federal heads.
Amen.
The leaders of that administration. So if you can just make use common, what? Cogitation, that if the leaders are missing it, well, you know everybody else is missing it.
Amen.
Let's look at Adam. You see, a lot of people, see, they miss it for dealing with Adam.
Amen.
And we'll see. Because people say, Adam was born perfect. No, born, you know. Oh, he was perfect. Adam was perfect. All righteous. Well, let's see about that. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Well, you know, I believe I started 10 after, so I got 10 minutes. So I'm going to watch my time. So y'all bear with me. Genesis chapter 2. Let's do some corroboration. Let's go. First of all, let's look at the covenant. In Genesis chapter 2, let's look at the dispensation. Because again, 7 dispensations. This is the dispensation of innocence. Let's look at innocence. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This is some corroboration. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
Chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Yes.
And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the eye and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, we know the story. You know, God, we know the story. God will create the heavens and the earth. Y'all learned this what? In elementary Bible school. He created what? Heavens and earth, all the stars, all this, right? And then, God put, you know, he created Adam and Eve, right? And he put them in the garden and he gave them commandments not to eat of the forbidden fruit, right? Now let's go to, Genesis 16 and 17 real quick.
16:17, chapter 2, King James Version. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
Thou shalt surely die. Okay, now, let's flip over, go to verse 3. Verse 3, 1 to 6, real quick, Ella. Verse 3, 1 through 6. Let's see, God told, don't eat it. Verse 3 to what? Chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Okay?
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field, of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said,
ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Lest ye die. And what happened? You know, keep going, Elder.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
And let's look at verse 6.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
And so we know the conclusion of this. They ate. In other words, they sinned. The problem that a lot of people do not understand the workings of God. For somehow people have labeled Adam as being totally perfect, totally righteous. First of all, Adam was a... Why did Adam sin? Very simple. He was depraved. If you are depraved, you're going to sin. Now here, Adam, the head of the dispensation of innocence. Sin, disobey God. God, this is give testimony that all have sinned. And by the way, going back to what Paul said in Romans, when he said all have sinned, he did not say all have sinned except Adam.
Amen.
All have sinned. He did not say all have sinned except Mary. All have sinned. But now, the key is this. Pray for me as we close. Is that in the workings of God, and when I come back, we can go through the other dispensations, that all God has had to work with was depravity, but in spite of that, God was still fulfilling his will and purpose.
Amen.
Because our goal, as we go through the trials and the tests, your goal, you should ask yourself, Lord, 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 what's going on? You should say, Lord, what is the purpose of this?
I hear you. Amen. Amen.
He was everything after the counsel of his will.
Amen.
All things work together. He worketh all things to good. So in spite of your weaknesses, God is working some good in that situation.
I hear you.
Because we see the end right here. God sees the end result. God sees the whole picture.
Look out now.
Now, in closing on this, many of you were at the funeral. And it is burning my heart. If you remember the funeral this past, a few days ago, Brother Charlie's mother. Y'all remember they sung that song? It's Well Within My Soul. Now, most people, Baptists, Catholics, Pentecostals, probably all Christians know that song. But so many do not know the history behind that song. And bear with me because I'm going to close out on this today. Now, when we say the history, how God has a purpose in everything.
Amen.
For those that may not know, 8 more minutes, we're closing out of here. This song was written 1873 by a man by the name of Horatio Stafford. Horatio Stafford was a wealthy businessman, and he was a man that lost his only son, died at childbirth.
Man.
And he was the first. They had during the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. It ruined him financially. He was ruined financially.
Man.
Lost his only son. Lost his business. Yes. Now, go. What was the purpose in this? Shortly after, in fact, you know, when that happens, sometimes you just want to get away, right? Mm-hmm. But shortly after this, he took his four daughters on a vacation. Mm-hmm. All four daughters, his wife, they died in a collision. They had a boat collision. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Anna, went, sent him this telegram, save alone. And several weeks later, at Spafford's own ship, passed near the spot where his daughter died, the Holy Spirit inspired these words. that has given eternal hope to all believers. All it is well with my soul.
Amen.
No matter what come,
right.
The foreclosure of my house,
right.
It is well with my soul.
Amen.
I'm dying of cancer. It is well with my soul. Oh God, I heard it's bad news. It is well with my soul. I got laid off from my job. It is well with my soul. Closing out here. These words, when peace like a river tendeth my way, when sorrows like willows blow, whatever my lot has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet me, through trials should come, lest this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well within my soul.
Amen.
My sin or the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well within my soul. For me, be it Christ to live, if Jordan above me shall roll, no pain shall be mine. For in death as in life, that will prosper thy peace to my soul. Why? Because it is well within my soul.
Amen.
But Lord, 'tis for me, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, it is well within my soul. In closing. And the Lord haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall be sound, and the Lord shall descend. Shall descend. Even so, it is well within my soul. No matter what comes your way, no matter what happens, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. No matter how many banks they close, it is well within my soul. No matter how many people say we are crazy to believe, rightly dividing the Bible, that's okay. It is well within my soul. No matter how dark this life gets in time, the more dark it gets in time, the brighter it is in eternity. It is well within my soul. And when God calls me home on that glorious day, you can look back and say, come on, my children, it is well within my soul. God bless you.